Arizona Guy Pitti here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live,
the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, thank you so much for tuning into the most delicious hour on radio. I tell you what, if you are a lover of Tucson's craft brew scene, if you love spectacular suds, then you need to be joining us over here for our live broadcast because we are going to go back in time, friends. The story all began in 1991 when brewer Dennis Arnold said, you know what, I think I know a thing or two about beer and I want to really make Tucson a beer town. He started Gentle Ben's in 1991, 25 years ago, and in fact, we are broadcasting live from the next part of that story. We're live from Barrio Brewing Company on the corner of 16th and Tool, just south of downtown, having some wonderful beers. We're going to be talking to Dennis Arnold a little bit. He's going to be slowing things down and talking about the 25-year journey that he and Tana have taken to bring us some great suds. 25 years ago, there was only one brewery in the entire state of Arizona, and it was Dennis Arnold. So you want to stick around for that? Well, here's a guy here. He hasn't been on our show for a few months, and we always love to pick his brain because he always has his palate on the pulse of something delicious. He's our celebrity co-host for the full hour, the director of communications for Visit Tucson, the honorable and my very good friend, Dan Gibson is in the house. Dan, what's going on, bro?
Other than being your very good friend, the rest of that was wildly oversold, but I appreciate it. It's very kind of you.
But anyway, you were a living, breathing symbol of celebrity success.
No, not at all.
But anyway,
if
well,
I always tell people if I pass for a celebrity in this town, I'm worried about this town.
Well, let's talk about this town because you get the privilege, Dan Gibson, of telling the world about what it is about Tucson, what it is about the old Pueblo, what it is about this community that really has been an inspiration, not just on the food and beverage side, but on the culture side. We have a lot of people from around the world visiting Tucson, Dan.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. Actually, even the last 2 months, you think of we got the numbers for July and August, which you would think are not exceptionally great tourism months. But there's a number we call RevPAR. It's revenue per available room. This is a little wonky, but I'll, you know, it's what how much each hotel room in Tucson is making per night. And for those 2 months, we were up 8% over 2015. So, I mean, that's a significant.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a significant jump. And so it means that more people are coming and that they're paying more for the rooms. So that both of those things are good. You want full rooms and you want people paying a premium for them. It seems a little counterintuitive. You kind of think, well, you want there to be cheap rooms. But no, you know, the more we're getting for rooms, the more we can, you know, the more that trickles down to our economy, right? It goes into these hotels, it goes into the people working at the hotels, it goes, you know, all the way through. So,
you know, one of the things about the craft brew scene, you know, as we said, 25 years ago, there was only one brewery in the entire state of Arizona, and yay for Tucson, it was right here. Now, I think there's probably going to be a couple more breweries open before this show
is
done.
I think, What's happened?
I mean, is the local brewing community part of the story that the nation is hearing about what makes Tucson on fire these days?
Yeah, it has been for us. I mean, I think we talk about craft beer quite a bit because it is something that's, you know, lots of cities have craft beer scenes, I think what's special about Tucson and the story we try to tell is that brewers here really do try to connect to the community. They're working by and large and, you know, like with the other brewers and, you know, doing these community events and community beers and all this stuff, but also, you know, by most brewers here are trying to do something that's connected to the taste of the Southwest, to make something that feels like Tucson, and that goes a long way. So we've had pretty good success with craft beer publications, and obviously when food writers come out here, they want to taste the beer too. And I always feel like I'm such a homer, right? Like I think the beer here is really great.
Seriously,
of course, I'm paid to, but we had somebody from Paste Magazine here who has a pretty significant beer publication. I mean, it's a culture publication that has a great beer section, and he was blown away by it. He really loved Tucson and loved the beer and was telling people about it over and over again. It happened with a beer blog in Chicago, The Hop Review. They were super enthusiastic
for sure.
about it.
Right.
So it's been really good. And even, you know, your friend Spud Hilton, I was at the Book Passage Travel Writers Conference and brought a couple cans of, you know, Tucson beer, and people were psyched on it. They were really, thought it was great. So it's part of the story, and it's as long as you can have something that feels special and unique and different, and that's not to say that there isn't great beer in Phoenix or Flag, you know, wherever. But Tucson beer feels like Tucson, and the places that Tucson beer is made and served feel like Tucson as well.
Exactly. Almost that sense of place. And that exists, Dan, I think, on the food side as well. And yeah. I've loved the fact that just over the last few months, I have been reading about the Tucson food scene. You know, there was a time, Dan, when you wanted to get some coverage outside of the market of Tucson.
Yeah.
So someone from Flagstaff would come down and do a story.
Right, yeah.
And now, today, I mean, USA Today.
Sure.
New York Times. What is it about the Tucson food scene that seems to be captivating journalists with this major media stream?
The UNESCO City Gastronomy Designation makes a big difference,
yeah,
right? I mean, that happened in December, and that's been a hook. And I think what's a challenge and is interesting is, like, how do you transition from that, right? I was talking to Steve Dolinsky, who's a Chicago food writer, actually does a podcast with Rick Bayless, and he's on TV there. He works with Chicago Tribune, does all this stuff. And I talked to him about the UNESCO City Gastronomy thing. He's like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, that's cool. He's like, I don't know what that means about your food. I'm like, okay, you know. And so it's really just trying to tell a story. That was a good hook to get people talking about it. But it's not enough, right? The writer from the New York Times came here on an assignment for something else and really fell in love with Tucson food and with the people making Tucson food. And that's been, I think, the biggest difference to me is that we have great people making great food and great stories to tell from, you know, the people raising poultry at Top Knot Farms or,
exactly,
you know, Noel Patterson making honey and working at Miraval now and the brewers and Stephen Paul at Whiskey Del Bach. You know, I mean, it's like there's a lot of things to connect to that people feel like it's something.
I love it. And, you know, we could do a whole hour just on the local distilling movement.
Sure.
And you're talking about telling stories. What I love about all of our local distillers is that it really, there are manifestations of personal stories.
Right.
You know, like Stephen with the mesquite and, you know, Matt and Chris with, you know, the prickly pear, sourcing prickly pear to make spirits. Unbelievable. We're talking to Dan Ibsen. He's the director of communications for Visit Tucson. He is our celebrity co-host for the entire hour for our live broadcast at Barrio. Now, you talked about telling stories to these journalists from all over the world.
Yeah.
What's your Tucson food and beverage story today? Like, what have you been enjoying on the culinary and cocktail scene personally?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's been a really great time to be eating here. I mean, I need to get over to Welcome Diner, which, you know, just opened up. And
yes.
I'm really excited about. Well, I've eaten at the Welcome Diner Phoenix and at Welcome Chicken and Donuts, both of which are excellent. It's really a great story to tell already right off the bat, just because they're so hyper-locally focused with what they're doing. You know, they're using local providers, using local produce, which has been great. I think what's happening at, like, Pueblo Vida's partnership with Pivot Produce and their CSA box and stuff like that has been a lot of fun. I mean, it's like, that's a great story to tell. You know, you get Chivarisa cheese and you get Barrio bread and all this stuff. What's interesting to me is that next stage is, like, I think this is maybe wave 4 or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, like, where does it go from here? I mean, what's moving into the proper space downtown? You know, what's going to happen when AC Marriott opens up? You know, things change, and I think that tension is a little bit challenging, right? I'm not going to lie. When I saw that I was in Chicago, when I heard that Bianco is closing or temporary closing and moving, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not great.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, his being committed to Tucson and trying to do something in the long run is great. I think the tension of what happens next and how does that change, that's really what's interesting to me. And it's been great for me because I just like I enjoy eating great things, you know.
Well, I enjoy eating great things. I enjoy drinking great things. And we're going to continue doing a little bit of both here on this live broadcast from Barrio. We're going to take a quick commercial break, thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, you know, he's sitting right here. John Rallis representing the Dusk Music Festival. It is an epic entertainment encounter that you don't want to miss. You're going to get all kinds of delicious information on this live broadcast from Barrio Brewing Company on the corner of 16th and Tool. Stick around, fellow foodies. We will be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I think that fall is one of the most delicious seasons of the year. So please join me in celebrating the flavors of fall at a restaurant that takes this season seriously. Commoner & Co. Start with a brûléed blue cheese tart with a ginger snap crust, or a fall harvest salad with a bounty of butternut squash, red apples, and spiced pumpkin seeds. And then warm your soul with a bowl of rigatoni bolognese with Wagyu beef, mozzarella curd, and ricotta. You'll also enjoy a number of other dishes that represent the year's harvest, as well as some fun fall cocktails that are being shaken and stirred even as I speak, like right now. And on Mondays, all season long, it's half off all bottles of wine. Fall is officially in season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cole. I'll see you there.
Hey, fellow foodies, it's a brand new year, and I'm throwing down a challenge. The time has come for each and every one of you to do what I did years ago and liberate your pantries once and for all from those old jugs of oil and vinegar that you got from the big box grocery store. I'm Matt Russell, and I say enough is enough. It's time to make a fresh start for your family's health and choose only the freshest extra virgin olive oil and specially aged balsamic vinegars that can only be found at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Take it from the palate of a pro. Tom Alfonso is one of only a handful of certified olive oil tasters in the country, and his highly trained staff is ready to show you what you've been missing by pouring you some free samples today. Enjoy single varietal, fused, and infused olive oils, along with suggestions for pairing them with the perfect balsamic vinegars. Stop in today at one of their two convenient locations, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell in St. Phillips Plaza, and on the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee in Plaza Escondida. Or check them out online at alfonsooliveoil.com. On behalf of Tom and Nancy Alfonso, here's to your health and happiness all year long.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Barrio Brewing Company.
Why
yes,
not?
Clopping
sure.
Right alongside my celebrity co-host from Visit Tucson, Dan Gibson. Having a great time. I've chosen to go with the Copperhead Pale Ale for this historic silver anniversary broadcast here at Barrio. What did you choose to go with?
I had the Ruby Red IPA.
Fresh grapefruit.
Yeah, why not?
Fresh grapefruit.
I will say this about Barrio. I mean, besides having many delicious beers, they have a lot of them on tap right now.
Absolutely.
You're not picking from three or four.
No.
Like four to six. Like, pretty much something for all tastes.
A full suite of suds.
Hey, listen, from the Barrio Blonde, obviously Tucson Classic, but the, you know, the Raspberry, the NC Double Ale.
There's a beer for every personality and palate.
There certainly is.
Well, you know what? There's a band for every personality and palate. And here to tell us, but you know what?
Segways.
Dan, I can't drive down the street without seeing a sign for the Dusk Music Festival. I can't pick up a newspaper without reading a story about the Dusk Music Festival. I can't turn on the you get the idea. Here to tell us about this entertainment encounter of epic magnitude, a guy who got together with a couple of buddies from college and said, you know what, let's bring a music festival to Tucson the way music festivals are supposed to be, the co-founder of the said Dusk Music Festival, my good friend John Rallis is in the house.
I'm here. Thank you
very
much.
What's going
on,
man? I got to say, your event is 2 weeks from today, right?
It is.
October 22nd. You look great for being two weeks out of the majesty of this event.
No, I do well on 4 hours of sleep.
So we've been hearing about Dusk all over the place. It's going to be an event, I think, the likes of which we probably haven't seen here in a long time. What was the genesis of this event? I mean, how did this idea around Dusk come together with you and your partners?
So I think about 2 to 3 years ago, I just kept thinking to myself that Tucson is in need of a multi-genre music festival. I think 10, 15 years ago, it just wasn't happening with music festivals.
Sure.
A lot of them were going under. Even Coachella took a little hiatus. And but I think the way with bands and touring now becoming a little more prevalent and important to them, we decided that, you know, since it is such a big thing, the festivals these days, that Tucson should have one. Every big city that's north of a million people pretty much has one at this point.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's important for Tucson to act like these other big cities.
Yeah, right on. So when we say multi-genre and festival, that doesn't mean from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. I mean, this is a day-long, night-long extravaganza.
Correct. So the doors will open at 1, the music will start at 2, and it'll be going until 11:30.
Wow.
So it'll be a full-day event.
Again, Saturday, October the 22nd at Rialto Park. As Dan and I were saying, you know, a great venue for an event like this, right?
No, it's a great place to have a show when you can do, you know, you get multiple stages, you get all the stuff. There's, like, actual facilities. There's places to park.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, all that stuff is off the board.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and the backdrop's beautiful with
of
the
course.
Mountains and everything.
I mean, it's such a Tucson
a
scene. Now, I see Calexico is going to be there. And wherever Calexico plays, you're going to draw a huge base. But you've got different kinds of acts that go from, Wild Bell and DJ Mustard and some of these acts that really are coming from all over the country here to Tucson.
Yeah, so we have 7 national acts. And Calexico and Gabby Moreno are both national acts as well. They're local. But We're pretty excited about all the national acts that are coming. I think a lot of the focus was on high energy acts. So when people are out there, they're having a good time, and we feel really good about the lineup. But there's basically three genres of the music. There's the alternative, there's the hip hop, and then there's the DJs. And that's the multi-genre we're covering per se.
And in addition to having this spectacular lineup of talent, you actually, it's a food and beverage show, John.
Yes.
So you guys have dialed up some deliciousness for this event as well, right?
We have. And a lot of the things we're doing here, we're trying to focus on local. We have a lot of local DJs playing in between. We have obviously two local acts with Gabby Moreno and Calexico, but one of the important things to us was to have local food vendors. I can't say how important it is, because we don't want any corporate people or anything coming in like that, because we want to showcase Tucson. This is an event for Tucson.
Right on.
And it's very important that we have great restaurants here in Tucson that you're constantly telling people about on a weekly basis. But I'd like to talk about that a little bit. So we have Union, Reforma, Obon, and the owners of Obon are opening a new place called The Bird.
Yes.
And they'll be very showcasing that day, so you know you can come out and check that out and get a little sneak peek. Choice Greens, Goodness, Greek House, Empire Pizza, Prep and Pastry, Commoner and Company, Brushfire Barbecue, and Dante's Fire.
All right, so boy, you got all kinds of different genres on the palette as well. It's a matchup with the genres on the stage.
Yeah, multi-genre restaurant lineup, I guess you could say.
DJ Mustard Barbecue Sauce. Brushfire would be fine.
And all kinds of activities and interactive kinds of experiences. Now, I understand that you've got a special deal for our listeners today in terms of tickets.
Let me write this down.
I mean, you better write this down. Okay. So am I right?
You are correct.
Okay, so talk about tickets.
So tickets, there's a couple different kinds of tickets. There's a general admission, which is $49. That gets you in for the day and basically just, you know, includes the general admission to the festival. Right. There's also a VIP ticket, which is $99. With that ticket, you get from 1 to 3 beer and wine samplings from different local brewers. And then in addition to that, all these restaurants will be showcasing some of their food at that time as well, from 1 to 3. So you get a little bit of both.
Okay, and so ticket price, you can get your tickets online. I mean, that's probably the way to do it. What's the website address?
Yeah, so duskmusicfestival.com.
And it's Dusk with a K. Just want to make sure. Dusk. Musicfestival.com. No disrespect to the Dust, Dan.
No, that would be a different music festival. I was at Coachella the Dust Storm year, so I was at the Dust Music Festival. That was not ideal.
So we have about 30 seconds left. Tell us exactly this deal that you have for our listeners today.
So when people get on, Matt will be pushing out a code here at the end of the broadcast. And when you buy from today until Wednesday, you get 30% off your ticket.
That's crazy.
30% off the ticket.
Yes.
Okay. So you want, and we're going to be announcing that. You want to do it here, live on the radio, or do you want to do it through? I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah.
You tell me.
No.
All right. What's the code?
The code will be DUSK, Big Matt.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Dusk DUSK Big Matt.
Well, I think your voice is pretty big.
I love it. You know, so that's the promo code to get, you said 30% off the ticket?
Yes. Between now and Wednesday.
DuskMusicFestival.com. Promo code Dusk. Big Matt gets you a major deal. John Rallis with the Dust Music Festival. Thank you so much to you and your partners. Be there. In fact, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Dust Music Festival on October 22nd. I wish you guys and your team all the luck in the world, and it is going to be an amazing event.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, John. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. When we come back, autumn is here, fellow foodies. Autumn is here, and it's in a class. The cascade, the rhythm, the dance that is the pumpkin porter is here. Live from Barrio Brewing Company. Stick around, fellow foodies. We will be right back.
Why such a loud slurp, my friend?
Well, I read on a recent article on TucsonFoodie.com 8 spots for Japanese ramen in Tucson that is customary.
What? No way.
Way. Not only that, but I found a great Tucson Foodie article about some of the best Tucson hotspots for happy hour, a guide to the growing number of restaurants in downtown Tucson, a roundup of killer spots for burgers, and a number of new restaurants to check out. Tucson Foodie also just won a Best of Award from the Tucson Weekly's 2014 competition.
That's insane.
What? That they won an award?
No, that slurping ramen is customary. I'm going to have to check out Tucson Foodie to see for myself. Where can I find it?
They're all over. Check them out on the web at TucsonFoodie.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Tumblr. They also have a great weekly email newsletter, which you can sign up for at TucsonFoodie.com. Just look for the bright red logo.
I'm on it.
Great. Now, excuse me. I have a bowl of ramen to finish.
Hi, it's Matt Russell, and I know you're hungry because you're listening to this show, so it must be time to treat yourself to Tino's. Tino's Pizza, that is. Family-owned and operated for more than 30 years, Tino's serves up hand-tossed pizzas from scratch every single day, along with salads, wings, and oven-toasted sandwiches that will satisfy any appetite. And Tino's lineup of craft beers and premium wines will pair perfectly with any of their pizzas, like my favorite, the Dimitri Special. Pizza is a family affair, and Tino's invites you and yours to come in and experience the difference that local makes in a setting that's just right for any occasion. Isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancredi Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town. And don't forget to download some money-saving coupons at tinospizza.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. We are broadcasting live. We are surrounded by spectacular suds here at Barrio Brewing Company, of course, on the corner of 16th and Tool, just a stone's throw south of downtown with our celebrity co-host from Visit Tucson. He makes the world a better place for people that come to Tucson and experience. Dan Gibson, yes! I just want to be you for like a day.
No, it's not
a day.
It's a lot of emails is what it is. But if people can just remember that they can get to New York now, nonstop, direct. On American Airlines.
That's a big deal.
They should daily nonstop flights.
Book
your trip right now. If you want to check out New York or tell your friends, it's easier than ever to get here.
Absolutely.
That's my big message. That's it.
There it is. Done.
I'm
going
to walk
right away.
I'm going to put the headphones
Now I'm going to buy another beer.
Oh, all right. Then I'm back.
Speaking of beer, you know, the fall is here. It's 88 degrees, but fall is here technically.
Rained on
autumn,
my house today.
Had a little bit of rain, and when we're thinking about this time of year, we kind of shift our palates a little bit on the sud side. And here to tell us a little bit about what he has pouring and cascading into his pint, is the guy who started it all 25 years ago, Dennis Arnold. He's here.
Thanks for having me, Matt. What a nice time of year to be doing this
as
well.
Gorgeous.
There's a little bit of cool weather coming on. Football's on the TV.
I love it. Just going to be so much fun.
Do you like the start of spring or the start of fall better? For me, it's fall because you're coming off of this kind of a hot,
six-month-long season, right?
And in the winter, you're coming off of this kind of warm winter. So.
Well, we're going to be talking to you here a little bit after the news break to kind of hear the story, the 25-year journey. You know, you and Tana woke up one morning and said, yeah, I think I want to run a brewery. That's going to be a lot of fun. But here we are, surrounded by the fall of flora and fauna. So what does fall look like in a glass here at Barrio?
Well, fall looks like in a glass. We have been putting out a pumpkin porter for about the last 3 years. We're never the first people through the door when it comes to things like that. Like maybe somewhere around 2035, we might do a sour. We're going to see if these little things like sour beers and the internet and things like that really last. So we shall see. But pumpkins, I had not wanted to do one for so many years because I tasted so many bad ones.
Yeah, right.
And when I started like tearing up why it was, it kind of came to the point that pumpkin has got to be supported by a particular style of beer, and it's got to be a dark beer. It's got to be a bigger beer. People that try to do them with browns and ambers and things like that, it just doesn't work. Right. There's things that you can't do. You know, you're not going to use ghost chilies in a salad. That's a no. So along that way is kind of what that happened. And then we have such a phenomenal platform in our Nolan Porter, a gold medal winner a few years ago at the GABF.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're like, you know what, if there's any beer that can hold a pumpkin over its head, it's that, and boom. And so we played with it. And the fun thing about brewing, when you start introducing different flavors that are non-traditional, there's the rule of thumb is go with more than you think and then cut it back with the base beer. And so that's kind of how we ended up here. And every year we look at each other, this tastes different from last year. And we're like, well, we use the exact same thing. And it's kind of weird that way. Your mind plays tricks on you. It's kind of like, you know, you never missed an episode of The Simpsons, and I can't remember when's the last time I watched it. So it's, time moves on that way, and that's kind of the same with beer. But it's gotten to the rub with seasonal beers is there's an official call right now to stop seasonal beers because there's just too damn many of them. And this is coming from the distributor end, the National Beer Wholesalers. Had just had their annual get-together in Chicago a couple weeks ago, and that's what it was. They're going, you know, we're not going to say yes to greenlight everything that a brewery wants to put out these days. So I think more and more people are going to have to be selective because I was buying a pumpkin porter. Well, I wasn't buying. I saw in a store. I think it was in March. And there was a pumpkin porter on the shelf for $2 a six-pack. And I'm like going, wow, I wonder what the recyclability of the aluminum is on this because that's about the only value that far down the road.
But on this particular pumpkin porter, what I love about it is I think people have this image of what a pumpkin beer is going to taste like if they've never had one.
Right.
And they're thinking, okay, this is going to be full-on clove and cinnamon and pumpkin pie, sweet. There's a savory aspect of this pumpkin porter here, Dennis.
Absolutely. It has to do, there's three different kinds of porters. There used to only be one, and then somebody came up with let's split the category up. So you can have brown porters on the low end, and then on the upper end you have a robust porter, and that's what Nolan's is a robust porter. Some people would even look at this beer as an East Coast stout.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So it's that big, but it allowed the subtle pumpkin flavors to get rolled in on top, and it really makes a beautiful marriage.
Well, I'm going to roll in on one myself, Dan. It's on tap right here at Barrio. We're going to take a quick news break and thank a couple of sponsors and maybe get a pumpkin porter for ourselves, Dan.
After the news, we might need the drink.
Exactly. We're going to be talking to Dennis about this whole story that began in 1991. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We will be right back. Boom.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road, or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778.
Hi there, buddy.
Hello.
Buddy here is a talking dog.
Even better, I'm a deal-sniffing dog.
Have you sniffed out any deals for us, buddy?
Oh, yes. I dug up great deals on restaurants, resorts, and entertainment all over Tucson, up to 90% off.
Wow, that is great.
I'm going to put them in daily emails.
How can I get on that mailing list, buddy?
Go to my website.
And what's that website address? What's the matter, buddy?
Well, I can't spell.
But you can talk.
Right.
Well, here it is, buddiesdeals.com. That's BUDDYSDEALS.com.
Buddiesdeals.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. We're hanging out here with our good buddy Dennis Arnold from Barrio Brewing Company, General Benz, and our celebrity co-host from Visit Tucson, Dan Gibson. I got a head start on you. I'm having this gorgeous, robust, earthy,
gorgeous showed up,
savory pumpkin porter that Dennis Arnold's rolled out for us. Now, Dennis, 1991. I have to say, happy anniversary. Happy silver anniversary. 25 years. You don't look a day over 24.
God bless you.
And why this date is so momentous for me is because 1991 was the year that I married my lovely bride. So we celebrate 25 years. We celebrate your 25 years. Now, I have, you know, I heard somewhere, Dennis, that you and Tana, is Tana listening, by the way? You originally wanted to open up a brewery in San Diego in the mid-'80s. But lucky for Tucson, the city fathers said there would never be a craft brewery within the San Diego city limits. So you ended up back in here in Tucson. Is that a true story?
Yeah, it is absolutely. So my wife and I, after we got out of college, we moved to San Francisco. And I was up there. I had a degree in journalism. So I was going to get my master's in bartending, which was the obvious move as it goes.
That's how it goes.
And so I bartended for a while up there, and then I got hired by Southern Wine and Spirits, a big wine house.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that I walked into my first brewery was they had given me a lead on a new license that was opening in Berkeley, California, and you know, to go try to sell them some wine. Well, it turned out to be it would have been the second craft brewery really in the Bay Area.
Wow.
And I walked in and I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, we're making beer. And I'm like, you can do that? It's legal? and it really wasn't, because every state, it wasn't legal in Arizona at the time.
Right.
So I looked at that and I said, my Lord. And I went home and I looked at my lovely wife, Tawn, and I go, you know, if you make beer, you get a drink for free for the rest of your life, and you could probably drop one of the three jobs that you're working, because and so that's what we did. And I said, that's great, and away we went. And I said, let's do it in San Diego, let's get ahead of this. So everything that we owned fit in our cars, but we had to rent a moving truck for our wines, because I really got into wine and stuff when we were up there. And away we went, and I got out, you know, the typewriter and typed up a business plan, and I walked in.
A typewriter.
Typewriter. There wasn't nothing so fancy as a word processor.
Simpler times.
A little Selectric as it went. And, you know, going down the library and doing your research, trying to figure out how to remember how to use that little card system and things like that. And then we walked in city council. We talked to that ward person. And somebody in that office had been from back east and had grown up next to a brewery and had smelled things that were unpleasant to her. So that was it. And I kept going back and back and back, and they kept saying no and no and no. You go out, get out of our city, and that'll be fine, you know, because they're picturing what she grew up next to, which is probably smokestacks, billowing, burnt,
right, right,
whatever. But so we did that for a while, and then finally when it became legal in Arizona, that's when we moved back to where we were from and figured, you know, if nothing else, we're wanting to have kids, and we got, you know, a lot of family to watch them and things like that, and so that's how we started.
Now, I wonder if this ward person that Dennis so lovingly referred to is still with us, because it tells me that this is like the biggest time for the world's largest nanny boo boo that has ever existed. You just go back and say, now, how many breweries are there now in San Diego? I mean,
well, in San Diego County, there's 190 something of them. But here's I think to me is the most wonderful part of the story for me is about 5 years ago, we were walking through the museum in Balboa Park, and they were having a history of brewing in San Diego. And so there was like Ballast Point's 15-barrel brew house sitting in the middle of this thing. And my daughter goes, hey, Daddy, you're in that movie. So they were showing a documentary about, you know, the history of brewing. And I was sitting on, you know, I was there I was.
So funny.
And so I went and I bought that. And as it turns out, anybody that opened then pretty much failed horribly. There was just stories about just, yes, I went and got my first gold medal at the GABF and then come back and lock my doors. And so it was really, it's called the, Suds County, USA, I think is the name of it. And it's so funny because you see these icons in the industry. You see, you know, Greg Cook, who I tried to even sell his first brewing system to him, talking about how there wasn't a distributor that would even distribute their beer because they're Bud Miller Coors, and they just said no, and that's why they're one of the larger beer distributors in Southern California. So it wasn't until probably the mid-90s that that part of the country got into something other than yellow beer. And so, you know,
if
we were told yes, we would have gone out, we would have failed, and, you know, we would have moved on, and I would be doing Lord knows what now.
Well, you know, and we say thank you for everything that you and Tana decided to come back home. Now, home is really the thing, because you're a native.
Yeah.
And you actually grew up a few-minute walk to where General Ben started?
Yeah, I grew up right on 3rd Street. 3rd Street's University Boulevard. I think they renamed it somewhere in the early 70s or something like that. But that was our playground when we were kids. And oddly enough, very few kids lived around the university because it was an old neighborhood with a lot of old people. And I think that I had 7 brothers and sisters, and that was maybe there was 10 kids in the whole neighborhood, including us. So the U of A and riding over there, there was a few things that have not changed. The Baskin-Robbins has been there since Moses came out of the hills. And then there was a place called New York City Pizza on just a little bit down the way from it, where you got the best 55-cent piece of pizza ever.
Oh, my
gosh.
So,
you know, that was our playground growing up, and it's kind of weird that, you know, boom.
And so it's funny you say seven brothers and sisters, right? And I remember asking you on the interview that we did on ESPN Tales of the Keg, you've never celebrated 25 years. You've never celebrated 20 or 10 or 5. And I asked him, why not?
Oh.
What'd you say?
My dad was in the Air Force and my mom was a Marine, and they met in the Okinawa War, or in the Korean War on Okinawa. And so they get married and they have 8 kids in 11 years. And so it was kind of crowded. Like, I didn't have my own underwear until I left home, because you just go to the laundry hamper and there was underwear in there and you found your size. So it just, what it is what it is. So and with that many kids packed in that tight of a thing, is, you know, the only way you really knew it was your birthday is your name was on dessert. So, you know, there wasn't this big, oh my god, 2 weeks from now I wonder if they remembered my drone you know, carrying my new PlayStation to me, or it just wasn't that growing up. And that was, you know, hell, we didn't have air conditioning until I think I was 10 years old. So you know, be thankful for the little things.
So you open Gentle Ben's, you buy that wonderful space where the Marriott is now, obviously, and you make a dedication. And I love the family story that weaves itself through the Gentle Ben's and the Barrio story, because there's every time you had a kid, you named a beer after it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I absolutely love that. But you began the journey with one beer, and it was the Blonde. And that is, as I understand,
That's the first beer I ever brewed, and that's the most difficult beer I've ever brewed, because the lighter the beer, as somebody had put it, I can't lay claim to it, but brewing a Blonde is like going to a party naked. Flaws will be noticed. there's no place to hide. You brew a big, right, you know, a big quad or whatever, and there can be all kinds of problems that are hiding behind dark malts and things like that. Brewing a Blonde, that was difficult. And 25 years later, it's still standing, and it's actually the number one selling Blonde in the state of Arizona.
And
in the entire state, according to the Nelson numbers, by a stretch. And there's some out-of-staters coming. I've been noticing a billboard around town of one of the breweries that got bought up by a multinational is now bringing their Blonde to Tucson. And I'm looking around, and all these big billboards are going up. I won't mention the name of the beer because they got plenty of money to advertise for themselves. But I'm pretty confident that is that's a wonderful beer, and it'll continue to do well.
So we talked about the Barrio Blonde, now the longest continuously brewed craft beer in the entire state of Arizona, which makes Gentle Ben's Barrio Brewing Company the oldest, no disrespect, the oldest continuously operating craft brewery in the entire state.
Yeah.
And Tucson, Dan Gibson, can lay claim to that.
Tucson's
How
the home
big of a deal
of,
is that?
Well, Tucson's the home of Arizona's first brewery, period.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
History of brewing started in Tucson. You know,
yeah, the Levine had the park and the Pioneer.
Yeah, exactly.
And they did great until the railroads showed up, and then the railroads brought in all honesty, I've got to say that the railroads probably brought cheaper beer, but they probably also brought better beer for the simple reason that refrigeration. Beer might be made with three ingredients, but truly what it's made with is time and temperature being the most important things. And in Arizona, I just can never imagine how they could have had gotten anywhere near close to anything that you would consider beer today.
We're talking to Dennis Arnold. He is the proprietor here and the dean. Can I call you Dean?
Dean.
The Dean of Arizona Craft Brewers in this live broadcast.
Change
from Barrio Brewing
right
Company. Now we're telling some stories of the past, and I love what you guys have done. If you go on to Facebook and you check out both the Barrio Brewing Company Facebook page and the Gentle Ben's Facebook page, every day at 9 o'clock in the morning, you reveal a different fascinating fact from both Gentle Ben's and Barrio. And what a coincidence. There's 25 of them.
I don't know how that works.
So strange.
It's just a coincidence.
So some of the things we've talked about, you know, the Barrio Blonde, the longest continuously brewed beer in all of Arizona. The fact that Dennis grew up a 10-minute bike ride from Gentle Ben's. I love this, that the wooden bear statue that now stands outside of Gentle Ben's on University was carved from two trees that had grown together near Sierra Vista.
Yeah.
How did that all come together?
That had sat out in front of like a military surplus store from the early 50s, and it ended up in Arizona. A guy had bought it when it closed and moved it up here, and the thing was ridiculously heavy. I took a dozen doormen over there to try to pick it up. Figured, oh, it's old wood. It's dried out, but, Lord, we couldn't do it. We had to get a crane. So that sat out there, and a guy had bought it here, and somehow he'd ended up going out of business, and I get a call from a guy saying, hi, somebody gave me your name. Would you like to buy a big bear carved out of a and I'm like, so, and his name was Forrest. And so that's when I was going, wow, that's kind of cool. Sure.
Yeah,
and I go over there, and there's this, like, 10-foot Kodiak looking. And I was like, sure, why not? And then so in my mind, it's like I can see myself in front of the West University Neighborhood Association,
Yes.
Pima County Historic Preservation Review Committee, subchapter of art, going, hey, can I put this out in front of my door? And so I figured that we had welded a big half-inch plate up on the bottom and bolted it to it, and then we just dropped it in place, and we put the plaque from the original Bear Down Cellar on its leg, which is the story of Button Salmon.
That's right.
And I'm going, okay,
nobody's
go
gonna
kill Bambi.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
Go ahead. You, go kill, you know, they were like, okay, we can, like, live with that since it's there and we have to, so.
But everything was going great at General Ben's. You know, brewing beer, the community responded, everything was going great. And then somehow, somewhere, you woke up one morning and said, you know what? 16th and Tool sounds kind of fun.
Well, I mean, it's like Tool and Euclid, so it's like, Tool you litter. Uke Tool. I don't know. It changes, like, right at the tracks here.
How did that start?
When we had to move out of the old house and move over to our new place, I knew at that time that the brewery had a short life on that block because the amount of space a brewery takes, I would not be able to expand there without taking up customer space or patio space. So that's when we started kind of going, as soon as we got settled down there in 96, it was we started looking for, you know, getting healthy again from the move, and then finding a place to grow.
And so, this place is just I mean, to describe the inside of Barrio Brewing Company, I mean, where do you even begin? Now, one of our fascinating facts, and I don't want to you know, this might be on day 19 or whatever, but what was the original function of the building that we're sitting in now?
Well, this building, as best as we can tell, because records kind of get a little bit sketchy, say, like non-existent, but this building was built in 1947, and oddly enough, the sprinkler heads have a date stamped in them, so somewhere around 1957 it got sprinklered, because they had to put the dates on them, and not to change them out, because they say if after 50 years you should, like, oh, okay. And the guy did it, and I was like, well, that's not such a bad price, and then I found out that the old heads were worth like 10 times what a new head was worth, because they were old school cast in bronze with dates and stuff. So you got like 900 heads to sell on eBay. So anyway, but that's what this was. And it was just a warehouse and transfer. Where Barrio sits right now, this was the original warehouse district for Tucson, Arizona. So when you started out in downtown, you had like the Seinfeld thing that sits at Stone and Tool. And so you had warehouses in downtown, but when they got modern, that's why when you look and you see where the dock space was out front, why these places couldn't serve as warehouses anymore, is that back in the 40s and 50s, you had twin-axled trucks, but not much more.
Right.
And you can't get a 59-foot, you know, a 52-foot box with a cab on it even back then without blocking all the streets. So this is a great, you know, extended use of the building. And my guess is that it was military surplus.
Yeah.
As most as we could say, we can't find any contractors or anything like that, but it really drops into it, because this is what Quonset huts were. And then so in between the wars, somebody sold a bunch of the surplus stuff and put it up, and boom, you know.
I mean, every time I come in here, I almost get the feeling that you'll never be done. Because every time I come in here, there's something new that's been bolted to the wall, or there's a new discovery around the corner. I mean, is this just always going to be a work in progress here?
My favorite part of my job is designing and building things. And there's just something about it, working with your hands and looking at something that people see no worth in, and turning it into something that is of worth. And so everything that you see in here was pretty much a recycled material. Taken off of job sites, like I can look behind you and I see boards that were taken off of trash cold box panels because there's a can lock in that board over there. So it doesn't end, and I think I've, you know, I may have one more of these in me because I just love building them out. The chandeliers were made out of old, I think we got all of the old car hoods for like $60 at the scrapyard. We bought 9 of them or something, bought them for weight, and then we started cutting them up for their unique oxidized colors. And then my wife decides to do Celtic knots for some reason.
Of course.
And every one of these knots has a different meaning if you're from, you know.
If you're doing that thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A great atmosphere for drinking beer. But anyway, the time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to get a shot at getting a Barrio Brewing Company gift card for themselves. Have you thought about a fun trivia question to ask our listeners today?
You know, I think every trivia question that you have is probably in that 25, so.
Something fun.
Okay, here's one. Let's go to Gentle Ben's. Let's go to the new building, and let's say that it was originally built in 1969 as a what?
Okay, great question. Okay, the original Gentle Ben's building.
The one that we're in right now.
Oh, the one that you're in now.
Yeah.
Okay, great question. So where you are now on University Boulevard was built, that building was built in 1969, and we want to know the original purpose. What was the purpose for that building? What was the function of that building? Great question. If you think you know the answer, send us an email right now, onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. First person in with the right answer is going to get a Barrio Brewing Company gift card. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple sponsors. When we come back, we've talked a lot about the past. Then we're going to gaze into the future with Dennis Arnold from Barrio Brewing Company. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell taking a walk down memory lane with Dennis Arnold and Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson.
Yeah.
Having a great time here at Barrio Brewing Company. Talked a lot about the origins of Gentle Ben's, the crazy stuff happening out in San Diego that, thank goodness, brought you back home to Tucson where you belong, can I say? The wonderful spirited stories that brought us Gentle Ben's and Barrio, a lot of great memories. But let's take a snapshot of today. Dennis Arnold, is there something that you wish you had known in 1991 that you know now as far as the craft brewing community, the business of beer? What comes to mind?
I don't know. It took so long. The story from San Diego was just that. It was the same in Tucson. I remember when I tried, when I actually did make my first IPA, and people were just like, "Oh my God, what is this?" You know, and
what have you
it,
done
it was
my
like,
beer?
Hey, you know, and I'm like pushing 40 IBUs at the time, and they're going way over the top, you know, and I'm just, so times change. And that's kind of, I think the lesson that I got out of that San Diego thing was that when, you know, there's things that happen for a reason and for a purpose. And we kind of, react to things as we go through life rather than, you know, have this great plan. There's breweries out there that say, we're going to be at 500,000 barrels and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And that's just not us.
Right.
We have a huge appetite for quality of life. And, we don't, you know, we kind of move at a certain speed. And there's breweries out there, you know, like, you know, trying to figure out what's the next, you know, wonderful, great thing. And we just keep doing what we do. There's a lot of space in the middle to brew, a wonderful, traditional beers. And so we're not going to be doing any fish head soup,
no,
stouts.
When you do your first sour in 15 years, we'll come by and have a taste.
Well, you know, the funny part about that is that if I would have done a sour back when I started, I would have fired myself.
Yeah,
because I had actually tasted a lot of sours in my life, but they were unintentionally soured.
Right.
It's called wash your hands after going to the bathroom and after changing baby two. You know, wash your fermenters. And so there was a lot of that going on unintentionally.
Well, you know, you have a lot of fans around here helping to share this big celebration with you, 25 years, and we can count among your biggest fans the Honorable Jonathan Rothschild, who actually has made a proclamation. Actually, and I'm reading from the proclamation here. There's some wonderful stories that the mayor says, or tells, in terms of the story. But then he says, therefore, I, Jonathan Rothschild, mayor of the city of Tucson, do hereby proclaim October. That's a month long, Dennis. October as Barrio Brewing Company and General Ben's 25th silver anniversary. And I encourage all of our citizens to celebrate this local company's pioneering spirit as a leader in Arizona's craft beer community.
Thank you. Kind words from Mayor Rothschild.
And since his election, he's been tipped over to a craft beer fan because he started off a little.
He was drinking.
Started off a little rough.
So I have to ask you.
Kissing babies instead of Bud.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like got the two mixed up.
Fixed it.
So now that you are duly anointed leader from the mayor himself, how would this leader respond to questions from this next generation of brewers? These kids coming out of school, the younger generation that say, you know, I love beer, I love the craft, I love the science, I love yeast, I love all of that. They're going to sit at the feet of the oracle of wisdom himself, Dennis Arnold. What advice do you have for the next generation of brewers right here in Southern Arizona?
It's a lot of
pressure. Oh, they're going to listen to me as much as my kids did. So we'll both save each other some time. And it's just that everybody wants to blaze their own trail.
Right.
And that's cool. There's things afoot. You know, one brewer in town's like into the fuzzy beer look. Like the more hairy a beer looks and on clear, the cooler it is. And that's great if that's, you know, it's called the fuzzy IPA movement or something like that.
Wow.
Everyone's trying to find what their niche is. It's hard to go in and differentiate yourself if everybody's just doing the same thing. Now, will they find in Tucson, which tends to play, you know, a little bit behind when for trends? I mean, you look at what's happened with restaurants in this town. You had the fellow from Phoenix, the most celebrated pizza guy in the world,
right,
you know, come to Tucson and turn back around and I think in all likelihood leave. You know, he left the I will return. He did the MacArthur thing. But, I mean, Tucson is very unique in itself that way. Tucsonans work at their own pace. I think that's probably what our thing is. So I'm not ever going to go, oh, if you don't like my sour Goza barrel aged Brett, it's like, no, you know, I'll leave that to other people, because with the size of brewery we have right now, I don't have the luxury of putting out, say, 1,000 glasses of something.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
I'm like, you know, I'm in it at, you know, something much bigger, like 18,000 pints is my lowest I can go. So it's not that, we don't want to, but it's just that I got a gut, and I've got people in this town that I've known forever, and I kind of know where my sweet spot is for a brewery.
My last question for you, Dennis Arnold, 25 years from today, we're going to be sitting at this very table. I'll be 75 years old. Dan will be
1,000.
Somewhere.
I'll be an octogenarian plus.
And we're going to be doing
80's the new 70.
We're going to be doing a live broadcast from this very space. What are we going to be talking about 25 years from now as far as the Dennis Arnold story? Where does it go from here?
Oy, my back hurts. My doctor put me on this, you know. So that's probably what we're going to be talking about, because I don't know. As long as the beer, my wife and I, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary coming up here.
Oh, beautiful.
Our kids, I've been amazingly blessed.
Let's name your beautiful children, too.
Taylor Jane, she's an architect out in San Diego. We've got Nolan Porter in the middle. He's graduating from Eller. And then my youngest, Ray's Ruby Red IPA. She's at the university in engineering.
Love it.
So I've been incredibly fortunate that my children have been a hell of a lot better at school than I was, and that they've seen, I think, the gift that I gave all of them is the ability to cook. My daughter sent me pictures yesterday that she made breakfast to take in to, she works for a firm with like 20 people or so. And I'm like, that's really cool. All my kids are into cooking. So there's little things that you don't even realize that you know, when we're sitting around at 80-odd years old, that's what we're going
to
be talking
about. Well, I got to tell you, speaking of gifts, you have given a very big one to this community. And Dennis Arnold, I thank you so much for everything your family
that.
Have done. Dan Gibson, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Of course, my pleasure.
If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Dan Gibson reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is On The Menu Live. Cheers, fellow foodies. We'll see you at Barrio.
Go Cats.